Hey, Stu Horgan here. Long time no see. This is not a normal episode. This is something I wrote that I thought I could split into sketches and sort of have being an episodic kind of thing. But given how out of hand book club got, I thought maybe it'd be better to just produce it as a one-off episode. So this is my attempt at a detective spoof called Watch It, You Only Live Jonce. If you've ever seen anything like Naked Gun or A Touch of Cloth, that's the sort of vibe I'm going for, hopefully. And if you enjoyed them, then I hope you will enjoy this too. I've got another special little something in the work, and obviously after that I do want to make another series of the sketch show proper. So consider this a little check-in. I'm still here, don't you worry. I'm just really, really slow. What have I been up to since the last episode? Well, I don't know. I performed live a few times. I got to the semi-finals for Musical Comedy Awards. I'm going to enter it next year again, so have a look out for that. I was a guest on a lovely podcast called Don't Wreck Yourself, which I will put a link to in the show notes. I got on Radio 4 for 20 seconds. I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. But for now, please enjoy. Watch It, You Only Live Jonce.
Watch it, you only live jumps. Ah, bloody cars. Bloody phone. Finally, some peace and quiet. What the bloody blood do you want?
What I want, Detective Chief Inspector, is to introduce you to our new detective, D.I. Fbert. Pleased to meet you.
Get out! I'm busy!
Engage with this runt. That's an order.
Fine. D.C.I. Unmanson, but my friends call me Jonce.
Pleased to meet you, Jonce. My name's Luca. Luca Fbert.
Don't call me Jonce!
Oh, because I'm not your friend?
No, because I just remembered they don't call me Jonce. They call me Jonce.
Right, well, pleased to meet you, Jonce.
Don't call me Jonce!
Why?
Because you're not my friend!
Now, Jonce, let's be civil. I'm assigning D.I. Fbert to partner with you.
A partner? What use have I got for another moron bastard?
D.C.I. Johnsonmanson. May I remind you, you're on thin enough ice as it is. Now, you both take the case, or there is no case at all. Is that clear?
Fine, have it your way. And you, whatever your name was, just stay out of my bloody way. Slow down, Sonny. You're walking too fast for my gratuitous limp.
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
Now, what's the situation?
Well, sir, it's Dressed to the Nines, a dressmaker's boutique. There's been a break-in. I mean, bacon.
You were right the first time, you oaf. Another bloody break-in. When will they give me a real case? All right, then. Let's get on with it.
Yeah, it's just here, sir.
What have we got here, then?
Look, sir, the robbers are still here, and they're wearing their ill-gotten goods.
You what?
Oh, wait. No. That's just the mannequins. I mean manatees, isn't it, sir?
Mannequins was right, you bloody idiot. Let's see. Yeah, window's broken cleanly. No sign of injury. We'd better look inside.
I've never been in a boutique before. Where do they keep all the boots?
Shut it, will ya? Look, the place has been ransacked. Careless. Check the back room.
Yes, sir. Oh my God!
What is it?
There's a body!
Sweet Saint Nicholas. This case just got interesting.
So it's not just a break-in.
It's a murder.
I mean burger. What do we do, sir?
You were right the first time, you egg-brained bastard. Look, I'll try and confirm the identity of the victim and, you go and check the front room for prints.
Okay, sir.
Let's see. Female. Dead. Probably the owner, I suppose.
There's prints everywhere, sir.
Right, shut it down. Seal the area. Call in forensics.
Leopard? Zebra? Floral?
I meant fingerprints, you bloody moron!
No, I can't see any dresses with fingers on them, sir.
Not that kind of print, you moron bastard! Ah, get out of my sight! Go and seal the perimeter or something.
Mm.
Wilson, you took your bloody time. Can we inspect the body now?
Chipper as ever, eh, Johnsy? Thanks for waiting. Let's take a closer look at her. ID?
Ruthless Skilling, proprietor of this store. 45 years old, sold dresses made by hand. Presumably the two attached to her arms right now.
I see. Severe bruising to the face, stab wound on the neck. That's likely where all the blood has come from. Probably done with that knife on the floor over there.
Or an extremely sharp dress.
Well, we can't rule anything out at this stage.
Anything else?
I'll put the time of death around 8 p.m. That's all I can tell you at the moment.
Then get out of my way while I investigate. Go and stand over there.
Ah, what happened to you?
I went and stood over here, sir, like you asked.
I wasn't talking to you, you buffoon. I was talking to the body.
She can't tell you, sir. She's dead.
It was rhetorical. Just get out of here, Wilson.
Ah, finally I can detect in peace.
No, my wife. Oh, who would do such a thing?
Got a visitor, boss. Cal the Skilling, wife of the deceased.
You were right the first time.
I'll deal with this.
Mr. the Skilling, I'm DCI Unmanson. I'm deeply sorry for your loss.
Can I see her?
Not at this time, sir.
Right, because you're gathering evidence.
No, because her body's in the other room. I can't see her either from over here.
Oh, God!
Please, sir, this is an active crime scene.
Sorry, I've just got such big feet and grief makes me a bit clumsy sometimes.
Look, I'm very sorry for your loss, but it's time to move on.
Move on? My wife's just been murdered! How am I supposed to move on?
It's not that, sir. It's just that this area's closed for investigations now, so I need all civilians to move on. We'll be in touch.
Oh, all right.
Sir?
Yes? What is it?
By the body, sir. There's a footprint in the blood. Doc Martens. Extremely large Doc Martens. Didn't the husband say he's got big feet?
He did indeed. Maybe you're not such a useless, boneheaded, incompetent, good-for-nothing prat after all, detective.
Thank you, sir. Here's your coffee, tea, sir.
You'd better hope you were right the first time, sunshine, because I do not bloody drink tea.
Oh, I hope so too, sir. Oh, by the way, Mr. Le Skilling has come to be interviewed.
By the way? By the way? And when were you going to tell me if I hadn't asked for a coffee? Lunchtime? Down at the local pubbing establishment after we clock off for the day? This man is our only lead on a murder investigation so hot you can melt butter on it. I've been waiting all week to talk to him and you just mentioned it by the way. This couldn't be more in the way if it was oncoming traffic, you lumbering jackalope. Well, send him in then. And listen, don't mention that footprint. Let's see what else we can find out before we make any moves.
Right you are, sir.
Thanks for coming in, Mr. Le Skilling. Would you like to take a seat?
Yes, thank you.
Well, that would be theft of police property, an extremely serious crime indeed. So I would advise you against acting on any such urge in the strongest possible terms. Is that clear?
Yes.
Good. Please do sit down. Now, Mr. Le Skilling.
Please, for the sake of whoever's writing this dialogue, just call me Cal.
Okay, Cal, have it your way. Now, I know this is a very tough time for you, but I must warn you. I may need you to answer some difficult questions.
I understand.
Okay, then, let's begin. We found Ruth in her boutique at 3:15 p.m. Generally, searching for evidence takes about half an hour, but it could be more like 45 minutes, after which we handed over to forensics, which required a lengthy briefing, and conducted preliminary searches of the surrounding area, as well as supervising the cordoning of the location and dispersing bystanders at the scene. I don't think it was getting dark yet at the time I left, but I can't be sure. The train station is roughly 20 minutes' walk from the boutique. Do you think I got there after 5, or have I been incorrectly charged a peak fare for my train ticket?
What? I don't... what kind of question is that?
I warned you there would be difficult questions, Cal. Don't come in here and waste my time if you aren't prepared to talk.
Well, after you spoke to me, I think I looked at my watch and it was around 4:30, so you probably did miss the cutoff.
Damn it. Bloody trains.
Thank you, Carl. That's very helpful information. Now, can you think of any reason at all, why someone might have wanted to murder your wife?
Oh, well, that's easy. Claire would have.
Claire? Who's Claire?
Claire Alibi. She used to run Dress to the Nines at the boutique with Ruth. That is, until the falling out.
What kind of falling out?
Out of the window. Claire was decorating one of the mannequins and she fell straight through the shop front. She said my wife pushed her, but it was never proven. And she didn't do it. The court agreed too. The legal costs. Claire was ruined financially by the end of it. Ruth took over the business by herself and we never saw Claire again. Until a week later when she opened up the rival store across the road.
Another boutique?
Yes, Dressed to the Tens. Open 11 to 12. I always wondered whether that meant it was only open for 1 hour a day or if they opened at 11:49. I never found out as Ruth forbade me from ever going over there.
A rival store, eh? Thank you, Carl. This has been most illuminating. I think we'd better give this rival boutique a little visit.
And a left here, and we should be arriving at...
Dressed to the Tens.
Open 11 to 12.
1314 Avenue. Here we are.
Excuse me, mister.
We haven't got any fidget spinners, lad. Find someone else to mug.
Don't mind my partner. I mean Panther. What's your name, Sonny?
I think you were right the first time, mister, because he doesn't look like a panther. My name's Art. Art Leskilling.
Did you say Leskilling?
Are you Ruth and Cal's son?
Yes, sir. I'm looking for my dad. Have you seen him?
And why would you be looking for him here?
Cal said he'd never been here before.
I've seen him come this way sometimes, when he wears his special hat and coat out. And I saw him in here with a lady on the counter when I was coming back from my school trip last week. Mum wasn't home, so I had to wait outside all night till he got back.
Sorry to hear that, son. Did he ever tell you what he was doing when he went out in his special coat?
He just said he needed to do some extra work, and I wasn't to tell Mum.
Well, Arthur, we were just talking to your dad at the station, but he should have got back by now. Why don't you run home and see him?
Okay, then.
Well, I wonder what Claire Alibi has to say about all this.
Hello, sorry, we're closed. We open 11 to 12.
Sorry, does that mean 11:49 or...
Shut it, you nincompoop! Miss Alibi, I'm DCI Johnson Munson, and this is DI Thbert. We'd like to ask you a few questions about...
Ruthless killing, wasn't it?
So you've heard about it.
Well, of course. It happened just over the road. I've seen you two poking around in there as well.
Did you know Ruth well?
Yes. Well, up until...
The falling out. Yes, we've heard about that.
It wasn't a falling out. She pushed me.
Why would your friend push you out of the window?
She was jealous, that's why. She saw the way I looked at her husband.
Callous killing.
Yes, it was a callous killing, wasn't it? But this was before all that.
So you were having an affair with Cal?
That's the thing. I wasn't. Not when she pushed me anyway. But after she showed her true colours, he just couldn't love her anymore. And then we did start seeing each other. Isn't it funny how these things come back to bite you sometimes?
Miss Alibi, did you see anyone suspicious on the night of the...
Heartless killing?
You saw their son, Heartless Killing?
No, I haven't seen their boy in years. But I saw Cal.
You saw Cal on the night of the murder?
Yes, but not over there. He was here with me.
He was here, was he? Well, that's interesting, because we found his footprint at the scene of the crime.
What? That's impossible. I swear, he was here the whole night. We made sweet, passionate love. First in the back room. Then under the stairs. Then behind the counter.
Then?
Then in the changing room.
Anywhere else?
Right over there on the floor.
That's enough. We didn't ask to hear all the sordid details of your scandalous affair. Can anyone else vouch for your whereabouts at this time?
No, of course not. That's the point of affairs. They're secret.
You were in cahoots with Cal. You planned this whole thing.
No, he was here. We were here. All night. We both have a...
Clear alibi. You're under arrest on suspicion of conspiracy to commit murder.
You have the right to remain silent. I'm insolvent.
You were right the first time.
Now then, D.I. Thbert, let's go and have a word with Mr. Leskilling, shall we?
And dig this up, like so. Plant that there. Perfect. Barry Greenfinger, you genius. This gardening book is worth its weight in gold.
Cal Leskilling, step away from the plants. You're under arrest for the murder of Ruth Leskilling.
What? No, I would never. You've got the wrong man.
We'll see about that.
No, Don't touch me. I mean it.
Mr. Liskilling, put the trowel down. Let's talk about this.
Why do you think I would murder my wife?
You and Claire Alibi were having an affair. Your wife found out. So the two of you hatched a scheme to bump her off and take over the shop. We already have proof you were in the area on the night of the murder.
No, you've got it all wrong. I only went to Claire's. We made love in the back room and the changing room.
Yes, we know.
And on the counter and the floor?
That too. But it's just you and Claire's word for it, and that proves nothing as far as I'm concerned.
But why? If I planned this whole thing, would I plan it on the one night my son is out on a school trip, when one of us had to be at home to let him in?
Sir, the school trip? His son said he saw them in the window on his way back. It was the same night.
Wait, what? You've spoken to Art?
Interesting. But if he saw them on the counter,
that means they still had the changing room and floor to go.
Then there's absolutely no way they could have made sweet, passionate love in all of those places and still had time to go and kill her.
But sir, what about the footprint? I mean, wood splint.
Yes, Cal. What about the wood splint? Footprint! Damn it, Luca, you were right the first time.
What footprint?
We found a Doc Martens print by the body in your shoe size.
Doc Martens? I've been looking for those shoes all week. Why do you think I've been wearing these horrendous Crocs the whole time?
You have? Oh, Jesus, put those things away. Now tell me, would anyone else have had access to your shoes?
Well, Ruth, obviously, but... Oh, my God.
Could she have taken them, sir?
Sweet Jesus on a honey cracker. It was a suicide. An act of revenge. She killed herself in the hopes of sending them both down with her.
I don't believe it.
Believe it, sunshine. And your poor boy is the only reason you're walking free. It was him seeing you out on your affair that proved your alibi. Ah, he deserves better. He was this close to being left all on his own, with nobody to look after him.
Or make dresses for him.
Or make dresses for him.
Well, how about that, sir? Another case solved.
This was our first case together, you moron bastard.
Oh, right, sir. Sorry, sir.
A dressmaker's suicide. Tailor-made to look like a murder. That is, until it all came apart at the seams.
Very clever, sir.
Why are you still talking? That was obviously the last line.